Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Preaching the message this morning is not just going to be about seniors, but a little bit this morning as we start is that Proverbs 29:18. If you without a vision, right? Without a vision, the people will perish. And in other words, if you aim at nothing, you'll surely hit it. And everybody ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. And I can't wait to see what y'all are going to do in the days to come. And from going to college to going to the Navy, all that God's going to do in y'all's life and through you to change this world. I love y'all. Appreciate you. So this is a T.S. Eliot quote. All men, women dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake up in the day to find that it was all vanity. But the dreamers of the day, they are dangerous men and women, for they may act their dreams with open eyes to make them possible. Jesus is looking for dangerous men and women who are willing to dream with their eyes wide open, to see what he wants you to see. To see the world as he wants you to see it, so you can make a difference in this world for him. God, I thank you for our seniors this morning. I thank you for every person here. Lord, we just invite you here. And we know there's a battle raging all around us, not just overseas, but Lord, even in our own hearts and minds. And Lord, you come this morning. And you show us how to fight that battle. You show us how to put on the full armor of God. We invite you into this house. This is your house. These are your people. You have your way with us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. A couple of announcements this morning. First is we have an apologetics event Tuesday right here from 7 to 8. Our apologetics, we do something special every month because we understand that we're in a culture where we have to learn how to communicate the good news of Jesus in ever new ways. And so that's this Tuesday. And then there's this thing coming up in 2 weeks. I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah, VBS. Dalee, she's not even shaking. She's so trusting Jesus. So anyway, but 500 of our best friends, 350 kids, a ton of volunteers, and where we need your help, we need you to volunteer if you're able. If you can't make all 5 days, just talk to Dalee. She'll help you get plugged in. We need you to give. She gave us some of the math. There's 350 kids, $60 a kid. If you're doing that, I think that's $21,000. We do all of this free. And we do it all to make a difference for Christ in the kids of our city. And then we need you to pray. If we don't pray, this is probably in the sermon later, if we don't pray, then God doesn't move. And so y'all, serve, volunteer, all right, support financially, and then pray. That's what we're asking you to do. All right, let's stand together to do our mission statement this morning. Y'all ready? St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Did you steal his mic?
Great to see y'all this morning. Thank you. I got one woo. My name is Joel. I'm the youth pastor here at St. Luke's in the WLBK. Hope, you want to? Oh, Hope's busy. Okay. But I'm going to go ahead and call the seniors and their families up to go ahead and stand at the front. We're going to pray for y'all. But also, if you have been in the lives of these students at all, if you've been an influence, if you've been a mentor, a teacher, a friend, I'm going to ask if you would come up too. So students, parents, people like that. Shelby's telling me no. But please, if you've been an influence in these students' lives, I encourage you to stand with them up here as well. And I think I say this every time, but one of the things that we talk about at St. Luke's in the Way all the time is our mission statement, right? We just read it together. And part of that mission statement is to reach, grow, and send fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the reach part is, I'm not that tall, so I'm going to, hold on, sorry. I kept moving around. The reach part can be challenging, right? The growth part can definitely be challenging. But I think the send forth part can also be one of the most challenging. And Senior Sunday is one of the Sundays that we get to send forth in a really beautiful way. And so we have 8 seniors at St. Luke's in the Whale Bouquet this year, and you get to see 4 of them this morning. But for the last several years, we've talked about what we do as a youth group and what we like focus on, what we like, some of our core beliefs is what we're called to be, right? Obviously, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Obviously, Jesus in the core. But we see this a lot in Ephesians. And so that's why I love that on Sunday mornings we've been going through Ephesians. And so one last time, seniors are going to have to hear me read Ephesians 4. Because I know that they've heard me read it so many times. This morning we had a beautiful brunch with all of the seniors and their Bibles were there. And I went to Ephesians 4 of each one of their Bibles. And they were just like incredibly marked up and sharpied and highlighted and all the things, which is great. But I'm going to read Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. Maybe. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Y'all, you made it. You're here. You've watched so many people stand up here. You've watched so many people go through this process. You've seen so many people in our church that are still part of our church be a part of this. And so I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, in a week's time, you're going to be unk status. So you're going to be old. And so get ready for that. Get ready. But one of the things we love about St. Luke's is that we are an intergenerational body of faith, right? And so I'm just so encouraged that y'all have gone through this, whether you have been here since you were born or you've joined us recently. And so I love y'all. Y'all are awesome. And just like notice how many people you have standing around you. And as you move into this next chapter of your life, I want you to remember that you have all these people standing around you. You have even these people sitting in front of you that you have to lift you up and to continue pouring into you and encouraging you. So I'm going to ask if everyone around that's standing will pray with me. Please pray out loud, pray for the students. And then in a few minutes, I'll pray and just kind of close this out in prayer. But please pray in your seats as well. Lord, we are so grateful that we get to be a family of grace, unified in you, in the bond of peace. Lord, this morning we celebrate our seniors as they take this next step. We celebrate their achievements, their accomplishments. But more than anything, Lord, we celebrate that they are yours. We celebrate that we get to walk together with them. Lord, as they move into this next step, walk with them. Place people in their lives that encourage them to grow, to lean in closer to you, to be more sensitive to your Spirit. Lord, we've seen them grow so many times. We've seen them lead with humility, with grace, with forgiveness. So Lord, as they step out into the world in a new way, be with them. Be with their families. Lord, as they fail, let them know you are there. As they succeed, let them know you are there. Lord, you have blessed these students with families and friends around them. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, this morning, as a family, we worship you and we thank you. We praise you. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. Hear and receive God's word this morning. We stand when we read God's word because his word has authority over us. His word tells us who God is and tells us who we are. Receive the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Lord Jesus, this morning, make your word come alive. Lord, let your word pierce to the very core of our being. And let us, Lord Jesus, hear your voice. Lord, not my voice, your voice. Speak, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So if we have any English teachers in the house, I'm not sure if we do or don't, but if we do, then you probably notice that in this passage, Paul has just loaded up on imperative verbs. Anybody remember what an imperative verb is? Come on, somebody, right? Okay, an imperative verb is a verb that gives a command. Maybe your English teacher, when you were in high school, called imperative verbs bossy verbs because they tell us what we need to do. Paul's use of the imperative verbs is intentional because he is telling us how we are to engage, how we are to win our fight over evil. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The first imperative Paul coaches us to, calls us to, is that we are to be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in ourselves, not be strong in our aptitudes, not be strong in our gifts and strengths, not be strong in our cool personalities, our intelligence, our creativity, not to be strong in our planning and preparation. We are to be strong in the Lord. This battle that we are in is not for the faint of heart. This battle that we are in is not optional. This battle that we are in is truly a life and death struggle. I want to give some context about our passage this morning, about the nature of our spiritual warfare. Satan is a worthy adversary to us, but in no way is Satan comparable to God. Good and evil, God and Satan do not exist on the same plane. God is creator. Satan is created. God is infinite. Satan is finite. God is the sovereign king of the whole universe. Satan is a mere cosmic rebel. Satan is given names in Scripture. He's called the adversary, the accuser, the ruler of this world, the god of this age, the tempter. He's called a liar and the father of all lies. He's called a murderer, the evil one. And he is called an angel of light because he masquerades as something beautiful in order to deceive us and draw us away from God. But again, to be clear, it's not God here and Satan here, okay? It's Satan here and it's God way, way, way beyond here. Oscar Coleman was one of the most influential New Testament scholars of the 20th century. In his book, Christ and Time, Coleman used an analogy from World War II to illustrate our current status as followers of Jesus. Now look, I don't know where you are in your history of World War II. Maybe we used to teach it differently, but maybe this will make sense to you. D-Day, remember, was when the Allied forces landed in Normandy and established a beachhead. The strategizing generals on both sides recognized that the outcome of the war was decided on that fateful and sacrificial day of June 6, 1944. They understood if the Nazis had driven the Allies back into the sea, they would have won the war. But because the Allied armies prevailed in Normandy, established that beachhead, they sealed the eventual doom of the Nazi cause. But between D-Day, June 6, 1944, VE Day, May of 1945, There was a difference. V-Day is making the surrender of the marked the surrender of the enemy and the Allies' liberation of all Europe, okay? So between D-Day and V-Day, there was a lot, many more months of suffering and struggle. There'd be horrendous battles as the Allied armies, little by little, pushed the Nazi forces back. The cross and the resurrection were God's D-Day. God in Jesus fought and won the decisive battle, you know, on the cross from the empty tomb. And although Satan is still raising havoc, his power has been broken. And Christ, through the church, through us, is driving back the forces of darkness. Our V-Day isn't yet here. But because of God's triumph on D-Day, God's triumph on the cross and from the empty tomb, we know how the war will end. The victory is already ours, but not yet has that victory been fully experienced in our lives. And so Paul says, we are in a battle. We are in a fight. Ephesians 6:12, we're in a struggle that is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. St. Augustine, over 1,600 years ago, described Satan's current powers as that of a staked dog. He's dangerous. He is destructive. He's deadly. But he is also bound and limited. His chain can only go so far. I mean, he can attack, he can hurt, he can do damage, but that chain has a limit. Jesus teaches us, John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan comes to steal our joy, kill our relationships, and destroy our salvation. Peter says, 1 Peter 5:8, that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But again, Satan is bound and limited. And so Paul is coaching us, training us in how we can defeat Satan and the spiritual forces of evil. We are to be strong in the Lord. Our strength to overcome, our strength to win the fight comes as we are in the Lord. Jesus taught us clearly. Remember John 15. I am the vine. We are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You will win the victory. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Just remember that the same Jesus that cast out an unclean spirit in a Capernaum synagogue, that same Jesus is in you. Just remember the same Jesus that cast out a demon from a young Gentile girl, that same Jesus is in you. Just remember that the same Jesus that cast out 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene, that same Jesus is in you. Just remember that the same Jesus that cast a legion of demons out of the man from Gerasene, that same Jesus is in you. Just remember the same Jesus who had absolute authority over Satan and his forces, that same Jesus is in you. You. 1 John 4 says clearly that he who is in you, he who is in me, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Be strong in the Lord, and let the Lord be strong in you. Second imperative that Paul coaches us to, calls us to, is that we are to, right? We are to stand. 4 different times in just 3 verses we're told to stand. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 13, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, right? Stand. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Do y'all remember the Tom Hanks movie, League of Their Own? Y'all remember this movie? We got a slide. This one? Anybody? In that movie from 1992, Hanks plays Jimmy Dugan, a cynical, washed-up former major leaguer who gets hired to coach the Rockford Peaches in a professional girls' baseball game, a baseball league in World War II. In the movie, there's this iconic scene that happens when the team's kind of beginning to come together. They're doing better. But after a fielding error in the outfield, Jimmy aggressively, he chews out right fielder Evelyn Gardner for making a costly mistake in the field. I mean, he just chews her up one side and down the other. When she breaks down in tears from his shouting, a completely bewildered and outraged Jimmy delivers this classic line, "Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball." Y'all remember that? Well, y'all, there's no sitting. There's no sitting when it comes to spiritual warfare. There are no comfortable pews in the stands. There are no bench warmers. There are no spectators. There are no casual observers. All of us, whether we know it or not, all of us are in the game of spiritual warfare, and we must make a choice to stand and engage, to stand and battle, or we will be defeated. If we don't get off our rears and get in gear, then the battle is lost. This is not what might happen. This is what will happen. This is what is happening when we choose to remain passive in our struggle against Satan and his spiritual forces. C.S. Lewis says in his book, Screwtape Letters, if you've never read that book, it's so much fun to read. It's a great book. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils or demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equal, the demons, are equally pleased by both errors. Satan loves it when we are indifferent to or ignorant of his ways. Satan loves it when we are obsessed with him and all the yuck he is up to. Lewis also said in Screwtape, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. I mean, seniors, nobody ever wakes up at 40 and go, well, I can't wait to be an addict, divorced, and 300 pounds overweight when I'm 40. No, nobody. But we get where we get one step at a time. You know? And that's how that road to hell is paved. Lewis is saying that our battle against Satan and his schemes is fought in the boring, mundane, everyday choices of the ordinary. In Screwtape Letters, the senior demon Screwtape advises his nephew to avoid spectacular sins and said, just focus on distracting the human with the ordinariness of things. An irritation at a family member's tone of voice, a wandering mind during prayer, a simple spiritual complacency, a simple choosing in a very small thing of our way over of their way over God's way. All these little ordinary things lead us to the gradualism of our own destruction. There are two Greek words for stand here in Ephesians 6. One is histemi, and it's all about, it's about holding your ground. It's about the right stance when you're boxing, or the right stance when you're playing linebacker, or the right stance when you're, playing shortstop or something in the infield. It's about standing. The other one is antithistemi. And it's an active defiance, a counter pressure when the enemy directly strikes your line. This is the exact same word that James uses in 4:7. James 4:7, submit yourselves, right? Give yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Stand. Third, Paul coaches us. Paul calls us to put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13, the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. This is how we stand our ground, because we suit up. We put on the full armor of God. So here's a picture of what the armor might have looked like. I love that picture, right? it's cool. But let's not miss that Paul is not talking to us as mere individual soldiers. He is talking to us. He's talking to you and me as an army of soldiers, as an army of brothers and sisters in Christ. In the original Greek text, all of the pronouns and verbs translated as you or your in this passage are second person plural. Paul is clearly and explicitly addressing not just the individual, but the entire community of believers together. All of you, be strengthened in the Lord. All y'all, stand against the devil's schemes. All y'all, take up the whole armor of God. Because Paul's grammar is entirely plural, he's not picturing a collection of isolated individual soldiers, you know, autonomous soldiers fighting their own private battles. Instead, he is using the imagery of a Roman military unit, a legion of soldiers. A single Roman soldier alone with a shield and armor, maybe they look pretty tough, but y'all, they're totally vulnerable. The armor, especially the large shield, this is the way it's meant to be. The large shield, Thurios, mentioned in verse 16, was designed for the soldiers to lock together, side by side, creating an unbroken wall of defense and then launching a coordinated counterattack against the enemy line. You put that up one more time. Maybe you go back. Can you? Sorry. There it is. Y'all see that? How do we suit up? How do we battle? How do we defeat Satan? Y'all, we do it together. Putting on the armor of God and standing firm is meant to be a community project accomplished together in unity, not a solo effort of some kind of, you know, I don't know, super spiritual Lone Ranger Christian. That's why we do men's groups and women's groups and couples groups and prayer groups and grace groups and Sunday school classes. That's what our youth group is all about. That's what our children's ministry is all about, so that I can stand with you and you can stand with me and we can stand with each other so we can whip up on Satan when he starts waging war against us. Do you ever notice that those who try to do the Jesus thing all alone end up falling away from him, end up not succeeding in overcoming? So let's go back and look at the armor. The belt of truth. We live in a culture where truth is in the eye of the beholder, but y'all, truth is simply that which is true. And the belt of truth is what holds our armor together. Truth, the truth about who God is, truth about who we are. That truth, if it gets subverted or if it gets ignored, rather than applied and lived out in our lives, we're in trouble because we don't have that most important stuff. It's the thing that hooks us all together. We need truth. And there's so many voices, so much news, and so much fake news that it's hard for us to know the truth. Y'all, the truth is here. And then we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And in that picture, I don't know if you can tell, but the breastplate protects the most vital and essential parts of our body. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin, that is Jesus, to become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So y'all, the very moment you believed in Jesus, you were declared righteous. It was the theologians imputed to you. You are no longer sin. You are now righteous. But that righteousness is also imparted to you over a whole lifetime. Day by day, as more and more we give ourselves to Christ and more we become like Christ. That righteousness is what protects us in the most important and essential parts of who we are. Shoes of peace. Those shoes, y'all, are meant for moving. Benjamin made it all the way up here in his cowboy boots a while ago. Good for him. But yesterday, we went swimming for the first time at the tech pool. It was 100 degrees. Y'all know that. We're at the pool, and the water's cold. Benjamin's just lips start quivering like this. They just bounce like this. And so we're going, man, he needs to warm up. Now, when you get a little bit older, you're like two or three, you know, you get on the hot concrete and lie down, and you just get, your whole body gets warm again. But Benjamin didn't know that. In fact, so Benjamin, just to get on the concrete, he's barefoot, and the concrete, all it means to him is it's burning his feet. You need shoes. You need the gospel shoes of peace. And these shoes are meant not for staying where you are, but for going where you need to go. The shoes of the gospel peace are meant to take you to places where the gospel is most needed. It may be in your own family. It may be in your neighbors. It may be in your workplace. It may be with Bear and Carol down in Houston, where there's the largest Muslim population of any place in America, 300,000 people. The gospel shoes of peace are meant to take you places where the gospel can be effectively and powerfully shared with others and bring about peace, his peace, to those who need Jesus the most. Where is a soldier without his shoes? Where is an army of soldiers without their shoes? We're stuck. We're immobile. We're not going anywhere. We need to have these shoes of the gospel of peace, willing to take us and go where God wants us to go. And then the shield of faith. We've already looked at that. That extinguished the fiery darts of the evil one. Faith is when we depend upon Jesus, right? And when we're depending upon Jesus, the arrows are coming at us from all directions, but they're just being extinguished one after another. Faith is when we put the full weight of who we are into the full reality of who he is. Hooley's Goddard, one of my best friends, teaches youth ministry in Columbia. Now he's doing other things. But when he was a youth pastor, he was very, very active in going to Colorado, and he loved to do rock climbing. For me, that would have been like something I might try once, but for him, it was a true passion. And Hooley was really good at it. And one day he's climbing up this rock face. He's about 200 feet in the air, and he gets to this bulge in the rock. And he literally has to, as he's going up the bulge, he has to kind of just go upside down. He's holding. And then his foot slips, and then his hand slips. And Hooley goes into a free fall. Whoop, about 20 feet. And then whoop, he gets caught by the belay rope, and he talks like this for 2 weeks anyway. Not really. Hooley said that on that mountain, as he's hanging from that rope, that he came to understand what faith is. He kissed the rope because that rope was all he had. That's what faith is. Hooley said that faith is when we put the full weight of who we are into the full reality of who God is. That's faith. Not when you're counting on yourself. Not when you're leaning on your own understanding, but when you're fully trusting God with all that you are and all that you have. And then we put on the helmet of salvation. And by the way, as our head goes, so we go. Keep your head sound and we will stay sound. And the helmet that protects us in our spiritual battle is our salvation. And we need to know that we are saved. We need to know that Jesus has found us, that Jesus has forgiven us, and that Jesus has freed us so that we can fully belong to him. He has freed us so that we will be truly filled with him, with his very spirit. You see, when we are truly secure in who we are in Christ, then we can be secure in how we are in relationship with others. Man, when this isn't right, when our head's not right, nothing else is right. When we're not focused on who we are in Christ, we will always be turned a zillion different directions to find our worth and significance. And then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. By the way, this is the only offensive weapon in the armor. And we're not to use it to harm others. This is not, you know, we're going to take our sword and bang somebody upside the head with it. No. We are to use our swords. We are to use God's word to literally slay Satan in his continuous deception. This, do you remember Jesus? This is in Matthew chapter 4, how Jesus dealt with Satan. This is out in his temptation, the wilderness of temptation, or the temptation in the wilderness. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest temple. "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down." And Satan, you know, misquotes scripture to him, and Jesus answered him, "It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you'll just bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." You see how Jesus slayed the deception of Satan with the word of God. And y'all, if we don't spend time in the word, if we don't not just get into the word, but let the word get into us, then our swords, they won't look like that one. They won't be strong and powerful and aflame like that one. That takes time. That takes investment. And that takes, again, you willing not just to spend time in the word. It takes you letting the word of God become alive in you. At the end of my sixth grade year in high school, this will go way back for a lot of you. Some of you won't have a clue what this is. But the number one song in America was "The Streak" by Ray Stevens. Anybody, boogity boogity, anybody remember this song? Oh, they call him the Streak, the fastest man on 2 feet. Anyway, all right. I wish we had time to hear that song this morning, but my favorite line in this song was at the very end of the song. And Stevens, by this time, he's more than he's singing, he's actually talking. And his wife, Ethel, she'd done been whatever it is. But anyway, he says, "Ethel, where are you going? Ethel, Ethel, get your clothes on." That's what he says. Church, dearly beloved of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, get your clothes on. Get your armor of God on. Let's get in this important battle all together. Finally, this morning, Paul coaches us, calls us, commands us to pray. Look at verses 18 through 20, and y'all just count. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Prayer is not a side thought to how we defeat Satan. It is just a completely embracing reality. Prayer is about us bringing our request to God, but prayer is even more profoundly about us proclaiming our dependency upon God. Prayer is us seeking him. It's not just us seeking his gifts, but prayer is us seeking him. Prayer is about us asking him to fill us and equip us and use us as he desires. That's what Paul's praying here in these verses. You remember Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well? This is in John chapter 4. Jesus tells her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." Talking about the water in the well. "But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's prayer. Prayer is us bringing our bucket, our empty bucket, our dirty bucket, our bucket with holes in it, us bringing our buckets to him again and again and again. Prayer is us letting Jesus pour himself upon us and pour himself into us. Prayer, y'all, is the rain of God falling upon us I love the promise of Isaiah 58:11, especially in the situation we find ourselves in. It says this, the Lord will guide you continually. If you seek him in prayer, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul even in drought. We understand drought. He will strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like Janie's beautiful watered garden in the front yard, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. We need rain. We need his presence to fall. We need to seek him in prayer. As we seek him in prayer, we will find him. He is not playing hide and seek with us. He is available to us. We have a prayer meeting. It's funny, in Ephesians, almost every single sermon we've done, it's had this prayer component. That's how the church thrived then. That's how the church thrives now. That's how the followers of Jesus thrived then. That's how the followers of Jesus thrive now. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and you know, maybe we'll have 10 or 12 people there. I really believe God wants a sanctuary full there. And it, as prayer goes, so the church goes. And until God does that, we are not going to experience the full impact of what he wants to do in us and through us in this world. Anyway, Lord, there are fires burning in our drought-stricken land. God, we pray for our friends in Canyon and Amarillo. Lord, there are crops that will never break the surface of our farmers who are farming all around us. Lord, there are lives that are running on empty. Lord, there are hearts that have become cracked and hard, all because we do not have the rain of your grace, and we don't have the rain of your spirit flooding upon us, flooding into us. Lord Jesus, we are desperate for you. We need you. We cannot live, not one more day, not one more hour, not one more minute, not one more second. We cannot live without you. So let it rain. Let your spirit rain. Wash over us. Jesus, rain down upon us. Jesus, pour out your love and your forgiveness and your healing and your presence and your power. We need you. Fill our cups, Lord. We lift them up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of our souls. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Fill our cups. Fill them up, Lord. Fill us up and make us whole. Y'all, this morning as we close out in worship, bring your bucket. Bring your bucket to the Lord and let him fill you up with his very presence, with his love, with his grace, his goodness. Lord Jesus, help us to be strong in you. Lord Jesus, help us to stand. Help us to get up and stand with you and for you and in you. And Lord, help us to put on the full armor of God that you provide for us. Let us not leave the armor sitting on the shelf or in a closet. Let us put it on for you and for your glory. And then God, make us a people of prayer, warriors praying, warriors marching, not in our pride, but marching on our knees to you and for you. Lord, meet us at this altar as we pray this morning. We come to you. Y'all, thank you so much for being here. Seniors, we're so thankful for you, and we want to hope you feel honored. We know you got a lot of things coming up this next week, and so God bless you. And favorite thing for me this morning is when I was praying, and Benjamin found his way up here, and y'all, little children, we're just saying, I want to be a child. Little children aren't worried about what anybody else thinks. Little children aren't worried about what you should or shouldn't do. They just want to get, in this case, to their pappy. And y'all, whatever it takes and wherever you are, you get yourself you get yourself to your Father. Don't let anything hold you back. He's coming to you harder than you're coming to Him. He loves you right where you are. And He is not just here in this house to meet with you. He wants to be with you wherever you are. And that's all Benjamin wanted. He just wanted to be with me. He doesn't know any better. God help us that we will never know any better than to just get ourselves to Him. We want to say a humongous thank you. We're going to close in prayer. Nathan, thank you for all that you've done with us over the last year. And dude, this will always be a place where you're welcome to come and serve and lead for Jesus. You have made a real impact upon us, and we appreciate it. Y'all give Nathan a hand. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for not just somebody who was a worship leader, but somebody who was a lead worshiper, who Sunday after Sunday led us into your presence. God, that's who he is. That's not going to stop because he's not here. We know that. So we pray that the good and awesome work you started in him long ago, God, you bring that work to completion, Lord, as he seeks to be not just a leader of a congregation, but he seeks to be the spiritual leader of his family. Bless him, bless his family. Lord, for all of us, send us out into this world, not as those who are naked, but those who got the clothes on, that got the armor of God on, not because we earned it or paid for it, but because we received that armor from you. Thank you, God, for your love for every single person here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.